Okay, this is Winfrey. Welcome to our Monday night conference line simulcast on PBS Radio and our telephone conference line. And we have an exciting evening planned for you. It may not be exciting at the end, but it looks like it's exciting at the beginning. And we were going to, for the longest time, I never did this, and I have been doing it. And it's like announcing, okay, this is what we're going to talk about tonight, and seeing if we can actually do that. So, you guys on the call, did you get my email? Did you see what I said?
I did, but I already forgot what it said.
Good, you forgot. That's a good sign.
It's happening a lot lately.
You know what? There was a very interesting channeling with Daphne last week. Because Daphne was talking about how she can't remember things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is rather an important thing because it's happening for a lot of people. And interestingly enough, they gave an explanation for that. And one explanation is that the magnetic field, part of our memory is actually stored in the magnetic field of the Earth. Just as a cassette tape retains memory in a magnetic field, the human memory accesses the field. And you apparently, it uses the magnetic field of the Earth as part of its storage. And because the magnetic field is diminishing, the human memory is suffering. Interestingly enough, have you guys heard of Greg Braden?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In 2002, actually, I will never forget this interview. I interviewed Greg Braden for the magazine I was writing for, Spirit of Mott. And while I was in the middle of interviewing him, unexpectedly to me, Daphne said, "I can't stand being here anymore." And she was moving all her stuff in her car, getting ready to drive off. And I was having to conduct this interview, watching her leave. She probably figured that that was a good time to do it because we had booked this interview 3 months in advance. And it was really hard to get Greg Braden, oriented to make the commitment to do the interview. So in that interview, he was talking about the magnetic field and how it was going to shift and there was going to be a tendency for people to lose their memory. And when we talked about this in a channeling with Daphne recently, they said there was a special effort or intention. I've got to edit this and put it out because it was really interesting. They said that the celestials were actually supporting the loss of memory with additional energies. And the reason given was that so many people were carrying traumatic memories from past lifetimes that by having their memory disappear, it would help them potentially transcend the traumas, which if they didn't transcend them, to keep them bound to repeating this realm. So if somebody's listening and they don't understand what I'm talking about, there has been this ongoing dialogues between myself and intelligence from other realms. And also, this information is in my book. Before I ever had this experience, I was writing about it through David Wilcock, and there was this explanation of this dimensional shift, or end of a 75,000-year cycle, which meant that this particular death experience that we're having this lifetime is going to be different than others, in that there was going to be a division of souls, those that graduated this realm and those that would be repeating it. And the criteria was having your heart open slightly more than half, or having a predisposition to service slightly more than half. And that would ensure graduating. And that for many people, so this was an addendum that was just recent, for many people, they're carrying traumas. Keeping your heart open is not something that you can do by willpower. You can't say, okay, heart, open, open. It doesn't work. It's almost all of us have ancient memories of hurts, traumas, whatever, that have kept our heart on guard and closed or semi-closed. And so they're saying that the reduction of memory is going to will graduate. And I thought that was very interesting. Hey, I'm going to start my tape recorder here. Thank you all.
I needed to be on tape when?
Pardon me?
I needed to be on tape, like so many things that you say.
you know what? who said that?
Julie.
Julie? Well, I can repeat it real quick. But in any case, hang on. I'll.
But hi, Vin. Are we on BBS or not?
We're on BBS, yeah.
Okay, good. So it's recorded no matter what, yes.
It's recorded on BBS. But usually...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Usually I don't use the BBS recording. I use the phone line recording because it's on it's kind of complicated, but it's on automation. Let me get it started here.
Your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Okay, this is Winfrey, and I'd like to welcome everybody who's just checked in on BBS and who also is listening on our replay line. And for those of you on BBS who are checking in for the first time, the recordings of these calls are available both in the BBS archives and in our replay emailings, where we send out emails to everyone with audio links and telephone calls where you can listen to them. And we were just talking about how many people are experiencing a loss of memory. And the way this came up is because Julie, who was on the line, I said, do you remember the topic I announced for tonight? And she said, no, I don't remember it. Of course, I just sent it out 45 minutes ago. And I don't even remember it, but I think I can bring it back. And I was mentioning that it's only been recently that I have been sending out topics. See, the key to this is to send out a topic and not be constrained by it. So I said, did I do my research? I have to talk about this. Luckily, because I'm talking to these guys in other realms, whether I remember stuff or not, they have a whole team of researchers, so they can come up with all kinds of answers that I can't even imagine. And I also said that on the email that it's, you know, we're talking about how we got here and how we get out. Now, that was the topic. And if they are identifying themselves correctly as to who they really are, we're talking to group created this realm, and so they have a lot of insights into things that a human can't begin to have. And in my many conversations with them, in the way they've answered, I've convinced myself that they are who they say they are. And it took me quite a while to do that. That's kind of a big leap to actually have a voice talking to you that created this realm. And we're going to have the opportunity tonight to ask them some questions about how they actually created this realm. Now, I can tell you a little bit, just as an introduction. When I say them, we have Terry Brown on the line tonight, and Terry is... I think we're getting an echo. Hang on.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Terry is on the line. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. And I was waiting for... I hear you. I'm always waiting for the night that I say, Terry, are you there? And there's no answer. It hasn't happened yet. And, you know, Terry has been forgetful for ever since I've known her. So somehow she's managing to remember these calls. And I probably would put myself in the same category as being forgetful.
Excuse me, Wynn, but you're also very forgetful because it happened last week that you were calling Terry for a few minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you mean I called her and she didn't answer? I forgot to call her? Oh, yeah. Well, I am forgetful. But you know what? It's like I say, being spaced out is part of one of the job requirements here. So I have to cope with being a little spaced out, and with Terry, and somehow we just keep managing to pull this forward and doing it every 3 times a week, which is quite a major accomplishment. And one of the things is I learned over time that I just had to come as I was and be as I was, because otherwise it was too much energy to prepare for a show, to think about what you're going to do. And, you know, all you guys that are listening, you come as you are. And the amazing thing that happens is that when I'm coming as I am, you're coming as you are, then suddenly we're not trying to be anything for anybody. And these other energies come into the call. And I get so many emails from people who are feeling it that either I'm a master at mass hypnosis, which, you know, when I was first doing this, I said, could that be the case? Could I just be suggesting this? But then people have little miracles and all these phenomena. So I've taken it to be so that we are actually doing this. And if you're listening for the first time, this may be a new experience for you, and it may not be an experience, but it might be. A lot of people are having the experience, and if you want to have the experience of feeling the energies, you have to stop your mind. You have to stop thinking about it. You have to stop even looking for it. You have to just kind of go into a very neutral, observational mode without your mind chattering. And that is the best stance to feel these energies. And the second thing is, you kind of have to trust it. It's like if you're letting something new into your space, an energy, and the energy is not familiar, it's not based on something in the human realm, then you have to be sure that you're open to letting this in and that you feel comfortable with it. And so that's part of my part, telling you my story and seeing if it all resonates. And if you trust it, you're open, you may feel it. Okay? And it's subtle, but it's not subtle. It gets stronger the more you come in. And in a sense, you know, we're talking about how we got here and how do we get out. Why do you want to get out? Where did you come from? Those are all really good questions. And before I just start asking them directly, we have 7:20, so I'll give myself a 5 or 10 minute little introduction to this topic. And,
entry and exit chimes are off.
I've turned the entry and exit chimes off. At one time, this is, they may correct this, but this is a way of looking at it in a way that I have extracted from my many, many, many conversations with the Council of Elohim, and then I'm translating it into my dumb human mind, trying to make sense of it to see how I can understand it. So this is how I've come to understand it. Everything is one energy. And originally, there was just this one energy and nothing else. And this energy, prior to being an energy, was chaos. And the chaos organized itself in such a way that it became aware that it existed. Now, as soon as there's an awareness of existence, there is the beginning of time of some sort. Because if you're aware and there's a memory, then you're aware of how you were, how you are, and how you are now, and how you are now, and you can look back and you can say, here's how I was then. So now there's time. As soon as there's an awareness of time, there becomes the potential for, now, let's see, loneliness. I'm alone. I'm aware. There's nothing else. So this energy could subdivide, like an amoeba. And now there's two energies. And they each have an individuated consciousness, but they're also part of the same energy. And there was this original subdivision of this one energy to create interplay and companionship. And everything was just energy. It was chaos organized into, like a magnet would organize iron filings, into coherence that created awareness. And each energy had its own awareness and its own individuation. But the energies could come together and become one and become separate again. And in a sense, it's kind of like we do that on the call. We come to the call and we're individuated. But as these energies come in, we start to feel connected to each other. And in fact, we do this on our Sunday grid healing. And if you've never attended one, you should, because it's kind of a neat experience. We actually go through the experience of bringing all our energies together, and people can feel it. They can feel the space of how it feels to connect their energies with other beings, people that you don't even see, people that you may never see, and yet there we are on the line, touching each other, connecting. So, in spirit form, this is apparently a standard operating procedure. Energies can come together, go apart, and just have fun doing this. Sometimes people in love can have this experience. They come together, they feel totally connected, they go do their separate things, they come together, and there's a pervading energy of oneness and usually upliftment when you feel these kinds of actions. So there was this one energy that subdivided, and eventually there were thousands and then millions of subdivisions of all part of the same original energy, and they didn't really think of themselves as God. They were just energies having fun. And what do we do now? It's like a playground. And they could project a picture or a hologram that somehow would be visible to the other energies. Now, I can't imagine what visible means because they didn't have eyes, but there was a transference that could be experienced by others who would be noticing that projection. And the projection would last as long as that individual spirit form was projecting it. And, by the way, these original spirit forms were what I understand to be the Elohim. And as they were playing with this idea and exchanging these pictures that they were projecting, they discovered that if two of them would be working on projecting the same projection and the same picture, then one could take a break and the picture or the hologram would persist as long as the other was holding it. Of course, they didn't have to go to the bathroom, but they did. I guess they got bored looking at the same picture and they said, well, we want to do something else. And as long as one was holding it, it would keep staying power. Well, the idea then came, how about if 100 of us hold it, or 1,000, or 1,000,000? They can correct me on this, because this is my human way of trying to explain this, so I may not have it completely right. But once you have a whole bunch of these spirit forms creating the same projection, there becomes persistence, because it doesn't matter how many of them take a break. The projection holds. It gets solidified. And that was the beginning of the physical realm. And it seems like it was kind of like an art piece, like we might have an aquarium. And they were creating this art piece of a physical projection, realm projection, that would hold because there were so many of them holding the space for it. And I suppose they were creating spin-outs of galaxies and stars. Maybe it started very simply and it got more complex. Maybe they can tell us a little bit about how that actually happened. And then there were animal forms that were imbued with life force, and they could watch all of this. And it was like creating, you know, they have these little bowls that are environmentally reproductive. In other words, I forget the word, ecologically balanced. So there's little plants that give off air, that little organisms develop in that give off the thing that the plants need. And so it's a whole little realm that just keeps growing within its own biosphere. And so our physical realm started like that. And then I believe what happened is some of them stepped into that little hologram that was created. And when they came into it, I think originally they could come and leave. But something happened where amnesia set in and they couldn't remember where they came from anymore. And they didn't know they were spirit forms that created this realm. it would be like walking into a James Bond movie and suddenly you're in the middle of one of those chases and saying, how did I get here? Now, I don't know if they were born into this realm and they took bodies originally through some of the creatures that were here, or if they could just energetically penetrate it and come into bodies. And an amnesia set in, and they got stuck here. And then they started to bond their energies with the things that were in this realm. And, of course, they say this all the time, that if you want to get out of this realm, if you want to graduate from this realm, your energies have to be unstuck from attachment to things in this realm, because what you're attached to, you'll have to keep coming back. When you die, you come back and you reattach, looking for what you're attached to, and it's back in this realm, so you have to keep coming back in to reattempt to free yourself. And as the Ra group said in the Carla Rucker channelings, the dilemma of getting off the wheel of reincarnation is that when you're in this realm, which they call, they call it space-time. When you're in space-time and you have a body, you can do everything, but you can know nothing. And when you're in time-space, which means you're in between realms and you don't have a body and you're just energy, you can know everything, but you can do nothing. So you now have this eternal ping-pong game of coming, that being in time-space, saying, I have to go back to Earth and get another body. I got to release myself. I got to fix myself. I got to clear my karma from the past. And you come back here, and you got no memory of what you're here for, and you think you're supposed to raise a family, earn a living, have sex with lots of women, or whatever else, you know, reoccurs, and suddenly you're just retrapping yourself in the old energy patterns of your last past lifetimes and the old hurts. Then you die, and you're back in time-space, and you say, geez, I didn't fix myself that time. What happened? I came in there to fix myself, and I think I'm even worse off than I was before. So this is the dilemma of getting out of this realm and how difficult it is. So one of the things that we're doing on these lines is we're offering an unusual understanding of how this works for people to look at, see if it resonates. And we're also offering a connection with the energies that are outside of this realm that are the ones that somehow created all this, that are saying, hey, follow us. We can help you get out. Because if it was all fun and games, it wouldn't be a problem. We just go through endless lifetimes of fun and games. But for a great majority of people, there's a huge amount of suffering. And if this whole division of realms is correct, where some people are going to, the people with open hearts graduate and the others are going to repeat, imagine what a world would be like for hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes where there were no people with open hearts, and that it would be just hierarchical enslavements. And I imagine this has happened before. I imagine this is not the first time this might have occurred. And this is why they come in, they're looking at the other realms and saying, unless some of us go down there and try to help that particular group of people, is going to be doomed to eternal damnation, so to speak, because they'll never get out of it by themselves. Somebody's got to come in and create the frequency of the higher vibrations as a beacon for somebody to look for and find. And The problem is that when they come in, they don't remember that they were supposed to do that. And so I've had this really unusual experience where this combination of people around me channeling endless questions, cross-referencing, where I've kind of stumbled, lucked, whatever, into this amazing view of how things work. And I would say in the best of all worlds, in the best of all worlds, we actually extend our holograms into the space above this realm on our calls, particularly on our Sunday call. And that we are reversing the process that got stuck here, which was creating a hologram of a group intention that created a physical realm. So now we create a hologram as a group that's above this realm, and that allows people, if enough people could join in that, the whole realm would probably transform. But that's probably unlikely. So for those that do, we're creating a holding space in another realm that allows us to graduate and more people to graduate. And on that note, I better call them in because I'm talking too long, but I thought that that's a good groundwork for the topic. How do we get here and how do we get out? Terry, let's just double check. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
now,
yes.
I'm going to Terry's been listening to all that, and I'm sure they're listening to it. So I'm going to call in the light, and, you know, if there's anything that I said that was not accurate, I'll invite them to re-correct it when they come in, and maybe ask, we have about 15 minutes to ask questions about some of the fine points of this particular topic. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our universe, through the center of our galaxy, through our planets, through our bodies, and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a braiding of our energies, a collective group. We can shut our eyes and look above our heads and see like streams of energy going from above our heads into a convergence where we can experience our oneness. And we invite the sources that are positive, service to others, to join this space and create a protected space that only positive can partake of. And anything that's not of that nature must leave now. And we invite our sources to come forth and shed some of their light on the topic we've been discussing.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are mindful of each and every person on the call and are greeting you individually with our energy handshake. We are also mindful of the topic that has been brought up today, which is a very important topic on how did we all get manifest in this realm, as we also are manifest with you in this realm right now as we talk with you. However, we have the ability to not only become manifest, but to unmanifest. You, being in the third density realm, have more difficulty with such a task as you have tagged yourself to a body, and the body is maintaining the energy within this realm. We are energy bodies and can manifest or not manifest in some ways. That is what a ghost does, in that it may become more solid and manifest or less solid and manifest as it struggles to move without its physical body in the third density realm. At the beginning of everything, there was only the one, and the one was nothing. Nothing was written on the one. It was not chaos. It was not anything. It was nothing. In order to have something, you need to have two or more beingnesses that are separated from each other. For without a position to view something else and something else to view, you have nothing. How did it become manifest? Something become manifest in this realm. There was the first manifest vibration wherein a certain, we could call them individual, broke from the whole and learned to call by sending a vibration. And the vibration then separated other individuals out from the whole, and the whole of everything is a play of vibrations, strengthening, lessening, manifesting, not manifesting, as in your physics. Now they do recognize the nature of matter blinking on, blinking off, and also being a vibration. It is in a very real sense a made-up or an illusion that is placed there and manifest. And then individuals can move into such a setting and recognize or identify with such a setting and give themselves identity according to what they are manifesting. They can manifest as different species or as human species and can interact species to species. Do you have questions?
Yes. Originally, when Realm was first started, could you give clarification of the way that I said it? Prior to there being a physical realm, originally there were just a few, and then the few became many, and then there became a physical realm. How did that actually start?
It started with a play of vibrations. Individuals such as yourself learn to send vibrations, and then as another individual, they pulled himself out of the whole with a node and a sub-node and found himself separated with bounds of vibration around him, separating him from the rest of all that was, which was nothing except for a vibration. The individual then began begin to pull within himself an awareness, as all that is aware, and as he found himself within a node in the vibration field, it made a boundary around him and separated him, her, it, as it had no sex. It was an energy field, and the vibration then moved within the node back and forth, and the individual then began to experience him, her, itself as a separate awareness, and life was born.
Was there individuals that came in that their vibrations actually became a planet or a star? What was the first manifestation of how this looked when it started?
Well, when we are speaking of the first vibration, it had a slight tinge of light and different vibrations within it, and the individual sending the vibration learned to modulate it to then have greater tinges and lesser tinges of light or sound. And then individuals within the nodes were born. Then as the individuals found themselves separated from the whole and began to have awareness, as there was their awareness surrounded by a vibration that was other than them, then they began to look out and sense other misses, other nodes. Then we give us a minute. The phone is ringing. There, we need to reestablish connection here. There has the individual nodes connected then awkwardly and sensed each other. Then they learned eventually to become more sophisticated and to communicate with each other. They learned to play with vibrations and to spin nodes. And in the spinning process, they then began to create solar systems and galaxies and stars, and they became enraptured with this process and would begin spinning great vortexes of energy, which then began to grow as they spun, and they began to condense planets and solar systems within the spinning condensations and black holes at the center of the spinning galaxies.
And while they were doing this, were they still, they were still very cognizant that they were the creators of it and that they came from a higher realm that were creating this realm, correct?
They were not exactly cognizant of the higher and lower realms. they were having fun and surprised by the effects that they were creating and learned over time relationships with what they had created.
I see. You know, we have started a topic that is really, really interesting. And it's 7:50. We probably have about another minute. And I think that I think we'll continue this topic next week and go into the refinement of how these galaxies and solar systems were spun out and somehow went from there to here. And how do we go, how it got negative and how it got so difficult in the realm, where the negative came from and where the contraction came from. And I think that I will let you just get some... Well, one thing I should ask is, Terry has this memory that it seemed to indicate that I was one of the guys that was part of the original spinning out of this realm. Is that, did you say that? Did I hear that correctly?
You were one of the individuals who learned to send out vibrations and to coincidentally vibrate other nodes and were quite enthusiastic and happy with this process, and you still have this necessity of vibrating with other individuals, which helps in your connection with people and can be turned into a magnificent healing energy.
Thank you. And how about Terry? Was she there then?
She was one of your students then, whom you were trying to teach to send these vibrations, and was also excited about the process, but at the time was never able to totally duplicate the singing resonances that you were able to project.
Mm-hmm. And how about Daphne? Where was she in all of this?
We do not wish to track this at this time.
I probably should ask her permission before we ask a question like that publicly. So, well,
it is a matter for you to take up with Daphne privately.
Yes. Okay. All right. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing? And thank you so much for giving us this understanding.
It is a very interesting topic to discover how one can extricate oneself from this and learn to not be trapped by it and to move in and out and easily flow back and forth and be able to partake in all worlds.
Mm-hmm. So it's possible for someone in a body to start operating that way, even though they have a body, which you guys can do it without bodies, but we're learning perhaps how to do that in bodies.
Correct.
Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to bring this session to a close, and I thank everyone who's listening and contributing their energies that allows us to bring this kind of information forth, and I thank Terry, and if anyone's listening on BBS, and they're not a member of a Message a Day, please do, messageaday.net. Also, I'm doing something next Saturday. I've got to send an email out on this. It's called 212hotline.net, where I'm going to do a talk Saturday morning for new people, introducing all my experiences on a phone line. So I'll send an email out probably tonight or tomorrow, And it's meant to be shared and invite other people so that they have the opportunity to connect. This is Lynn Free, and we're on BBS Radio and the conference line, and